Chapter 38. The soldier knew that Stone was looking for him, and understood it was very risky for him to be there, even far back from the crowd gathered around the police cruisers. The kid was gravely wounded. He was certain of that much, but he had to be sure the kid was dead. And then, when the van finally arrived to take the body away, he knew. The soldier watched the two attendants get out of the van, bored expressions on their faces, one carrying the neatly folded and packaged body bag under his arm, like a newspaper. There was no longer any need to take the risk. He turned away from the crowd, holding the cell phone up to his face.
"Is it done?" asked the colonel.
"It's done, sir."
"Did he suffer?"
"Yes, probably." "No, sir." She emptied her clip into him.
"Did you take care of everything?"
"Yes, sir, just as planned."
"Good. I'm going to enjoy watching her fry for this. Let's see what the media makes of it."
"Sir," the soldier said, "they don't do that in this state."
"Don't be impertinent, son. I was speaking figuratively. After we're all done with her, she'll wish they did still bring down the wrath of the state."
"Sorry, sir."
"Never mind me," the colonel said, his voice suddenly brittle.
"My condolences, sir."
"Thank you. But no death was ever more important. Were it only possible that all of our deaths be as meaningful a sacrifice in a glorious cause as my youngest boy's."
"Yes, sir."
"I will wait for the call, and then I will join you."
"Yes, sir."
"It begins. There's no turning back. The battle has been joined. The revolution begun. Hallelujah."
The soldier put the phone back in his pocket. He agreed that something had to be done to save the country, but he didn't think there was any reason to be shouting hallelujah. He had seen too much carnage, seen too many of his comrades perish for no good reason, to think there was any glory in death. As far as he could tell, the dead got nothing for their sacrifice except a short trip to hell. But that was the thing. It took a certain kind of strength and dedication to serve up your own flesh and blood for a cause. The soldier was willing to sacrifice himself readily enough. He just didn't think he could sacrifice his own son, the way the colonel had. Thinking about his own boy being raised by another man on the other side of the country filled him with feelings that tore him to pieces inside. It filled him with a sadness so deep it made him weak. Yet at the same time, it filled him with rage so powerful, he swore he'd choke on it. Sometimes he felt it had a life of its own, separate from him. He pushed both feelings down as far as he could. "That's just what a soldier does," he told himself. "Push his feelings down so he can move ahead and do his duty." The colonel was right about one thing for sure. There was no turning back.